Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the amazing Fountain City Radio in Columbus, Georgia, in the Valley and surrounding areas. News, thought, talk, speculation, and features with local talented artists and entertainers. Listen in or speak out. The choice is always yours, but tune in and get turned on, because good stuff is always coming at you on Fountain City Radio. Sponsored by Kingstown Family Foundation, Fountain City Radio is designed with you and yours in mind.
Hello, good evening, Columbus, Georgia. We are on Fountain City Radio live on the air. And our guest this evening is Mr. Freddie Williams on the future of the NAACP in Columbus, Georgia. In case you guys have heard, the pretty much the entire officers of the NAACP in Columbus, Georgia were kind of put out of office for reasons that we're still having a hard time understanding. Well, we brought Mr. Freddie Williams, who was a former officer, on the air tonight to talk about the future and about the election that's coming up in September. So I have him on hold. He's our guest for this evening. I'm going to bring him on to the show in just a moment. A couple of housekeeping chores. If you are listening by internet, if you're on the phone, or if you're online, the guest call-in number is 515-602-9677 if you want to call in and make any comments or if you have any questions. Once again, the guest call-in number is 515-602-9677. We've had a few technical hiccups in the past, so if it sounds like something's going dead for just a minute, don't hang up. We'll be on the air until 6 p.m. It's a half-hour show. So don't hang up. I'm just going to have to dial back in and pick up where we left off. But hopefully everything goes smoothly tonight. We have Mr. Freddie Williams now on the line, and we're going to bring him into the call. Hello? Hey, you're there. Okay. Can you hear me?
Good evening. Yes, ma'am.
All right. We're doing good. Okay. Can you introduce yourself? Tell us a little about yourself for the listeners who are out there right now. And let us know what role you played in the NAACP and what role you plan to play in the future, and where do you think this may be going in the future once the elections take place next month?
Yes, ma'am. Okay, first of all, my name is Freddie Williams. Thank you for having me on. And I am the former first vice president of the Columbus, Georgia branch of the NAACP. And I guess as the show goes on, I guess we'll get into finding out how I became former and some of the other officers became former. So,
okay.
And as far as the future of it, there will be a special election next month on the 8th, on September 8th. So I can just ask if you like whatever kind of questions, answer whatever kind of questions you may like to ask. But I will be straight up front. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. I'm going to tell it like it is. Because I've been saying all along on Facebook and everything else. Everybody else got the story on the other side, but the real truth is that this is the first time to tell it, and I appreciate you giving an opportunity to do so.
Okay, you know what? That's what we're looking for, the real truth, and you don't want to hear one side of the story. So call us if you're listening in. You can just sit and listen, or you can get actively involved, and all you have to do is dial 515-602-9677, press 1. Once you press 1, I'll see your hand raised on the studio airboard, and I will be able to bring you into the conversation for any comments or questions. Other than that, you're free to just listen to our guest, Freddie Williams, this evening. Okay, Mr. Williams, can you go ahead and give us the actual truth about who you were as an officer and what happened that caused this whole thing to, I use the word carefully when I say fall apart, but and how did it end up that all the officers ended up getting removed?
Yes, ma'am. Okay, well, I was there. Well, as everyone knows, Tonza Thomas was the president, and I was the first vice president. The way the structure goes, you have the president, and then you have first vice president, your first vice, second vice, third vice, and then there's your treasurer and your secretary.
So right.
The thing is, the whole wild truth be told, we were actually elected in 2000 2014, November 2014. So
right.
At that time, Reverend Crocker, Curtis Crocker, and Pastor Tony Whitaker, they were the second and third vice presidents. And everything mm-hmm. Went well. And eventually, they both had to resign, for medical issues, with a leg and stuff like that. And then Reverend Crocker, because he was very busy. But, mm-hmm. and I'm just saying that, give a little history. At that time, uh-huh. Miss Barbara Pierce, I told you I'm going to mm-hmm. be straight up now. Barbara Pierce and Dr. Hood, they mm-hmm. were committee chairs. Because we have committee chairs. Mm-hmm. You have your chairs and then you have your offices. So now they worked fine. They did great during that. But then at the election time,
mm-hmm.
Tubby and I were reelected, and so mm-hmm. was the treasurer. But
mm-hmm.
she actually gave the position of second vice and third vice and secretary to the secretary, mm-hmm. to all of them, because she thought they did great work and they would be great leaders and be very supportive. Mm-hmm. But from the time we started in January 2017, they went mm-hmm. the other way the whole while. So basically all this time, it's been just a few of us working to keep things going, and then you had them with the fabricated stories. So that's where we got into this thing of getting us removed. Now we're getting into it. They started writing letters and calling to the national office saying that she was misappropriating funds and all kinds of stuff like that. And eventually they had to send down an administrator to come in mm-hmm. and try to straighten things out. And we had an audit back in April mm-hmm. of this year and found out, no malfeasance were found, because I will tell you now, and I said it on Facebook and different things, I keep mm-hmm. every document. Tom keeps every mm-hmm. document. When we got through that audit, we both broke out mm-hmm. our stuff. We have stuff from 2015 up mm-hmm. until today. So mm-hmm. everything that was in that Article 10, that's what they do. That's what they do when they get ready to try to remove officers and from their position. They send Article 10 up to national, then national investigates. And everything on that Article 10, so everything that was listed, we had the documentation to prove it was wrong. So the thing is, when they first went to the media, they went out mm-hmm. there with just word of mouth. So mm-hmm. if the story hit, it kept going on and on and on and on. They didn't have any proof of anything. They were just talking. But then we mm-hmm. were still being, let the process work. So now, mm-hmm. once we found out, they found out, that there was mm-hmm. no malfeasance and that everybody had mm-hmm. been cleared, there was no misappropriation of funds, when mm-hmm. Mr. Norman came back to tell them that Tubby had been cleared, that there was no malfeasance mm-hmm. found, you still mm-hmm. had these same people, not just the officers. We have some other members, too, who have been in, and mm-hmm. some of them call it what it is. They are members mm-hmm. of the churches and all that stuff and mm-hmm. their staples in the neighborhood. And mm-hmm. you wouldn't believe that some people, and we all are Christians, Christians, some people mm-hmm. got their own mm-hmm. other religious thing, but you wouldn't believe the lies and the stuff that they would tell. So, eventually they kept.
Can you give us an example Can you give us an example of one of those alleged lies that were told, without getting too controversial? I guess now isn't the time, especially with an election coming up. But can you give us an example, or was it just something just fly by night that people make up on the stand?
Yes, ma'am. Well, and it's a real simple one. And the biggest lie in saying that the community didn't support the branch, that the community didn't support the president and all that. And that right there was a bold-faced lie. They were saying the community, but it was actually the few of them. Just like whenever they hit the paper, they would say the executive committee wanted to do this. And no, it was not the executive committee. It was that little small portion of the executive committee that didn't want to do it. So, so they were saying that the community wasn't in support of it, and which led to us eventually being removed. So when the administrator went back to the national, of course, his only recommendation was that everybody get removed and bring in some new officers. My problem is, and I think what they should have thought, and be honest with you, I feel like national should have done a much more thorough job, a better job than what they
right.
did. If that what mm-hmm. they did, they should have just seen, because some of them did see who was the ones keeping up all the mess. So why not
right.
just remove them instead
mm-hmm.
of removing everybody?
Mm-hmm.
And when he
mm-hmm.
said that, when he said that, if we got the officer removed, that none of the officers, the current officer, would be able to run for office until 2020.
Oh, really?
And the first thing out of Barbara
okay.
Pierce's mouth was, "I'm okay with that." She was like, "I'm okay,
okay.
with that."
Okay.
Now, that should tell you.
I was
going to
say, will they let the officers who were ousted run again? But you just answered that question.
No, man, we can't run again until 2020, and we can't be committee chairs. You can be on the committee, but you can't be
wow.
a committee chair. So
wow.
they done, you
wow.
know, filed everything up from there. So basically
okay.
what we're looking at is for the election
okay.
that's coming up,
mm-hmm.
be honest with you, we don't
mm-hmm.
know who's who. Now, they going out, and I will say this, they have gotten a lot of people to join churches and stuff, like people from church, and I would say Ed Dubo's got, he done turned in like 100-something new members. So I'm telling y'all now, they ain't
wow.
going to like it, but I'm telling you now, you think that was a mess. It's going to be a mess because you got people that go to Baptist churches, you got other folks, and they already saying, well, they're trying to push this one for first night. They're trying to push that one. So already, you know, it's going to be division. Well, it's going to be division.
I see.
So you're going to have a whole lot. I guess they were like, you know.
So basically, this election is about to turn into a whole big, for lack of a better word, mess.
I hope it don't be a mess.
To
be honest with you.
Well, let me ask you this question. Okay, on the accusation of a lack of support from the community, how many meetings? You had a meeting once a month, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, how many people would come to the
Okay, we had a regular committee meeting was always
uh-huh.
every first Thursday of the month, and then the
right.
general membership meeting would be on the second Saturday of the month.
Most of the time,
on the general membership meeting, it was still the executive committee, you know, as a member. But the whole
okay.
community really wasn't coming in
like that.
And then when they were talking about the thing, even the Freedom Fund thing, that's our biggest fundraiser of the year, the one that
uh-huh.
we held in January.
Uh-huh. Right.
They sent and they fought to try to block the Freedom Fund banquet. But we kept
mm-hmm.
pushing with it. Tons of myself, her, and then different folks. But them, they were sending letters to National. Like I said, I keep everything. And one day, if you like to, I will be glad
mm-hmm.
to show you or anybody the documentation, the emails, the text messages,
mm-hmm.
the
mm-hmm.
screenshots,
mm-hmm.
everything. And they were okay. told, like, there was a lady, and I know I'm talking a lot and talking fast, but this
mm-hmm.
Corrine Walker, that lady
mm-hmm.
used to sell more tickets for the Freedom Fund banquet than anybody, period.
Mm-hmm.
She had gotten 100 tickets, and then she called
mm-hmm.
us one evening, but called to us, and turned every one of her tickets back in.
Mm-hmm.
So what they went and told National was that a long-time supporter of the branch, she said, she was turning hers in because she didn't want to be involved in the mess. But actually what happened is we got people, again, that went
mm-hmm.
and talked and fought about it. And certain people went on ahead and said, look, I'm supporting the branch. I'm supporting the NAACP. Some people went
right.
on with, like they always do, with their friends, with their church members and all that stuff like that. So
mm-hmm.
it wasn't that the community, and they saying the community didn't
mm-hmm.
want to bring the fund.
Okay.
And to be honest with you, I think
mm-hmm.
I've been in 11 years. This was
mm-hmm.
the most successful Freedom Fund banquet that we have had. So like I said, my sons would call it what it is. They talk bad about it. That's them. But you talk about a great leader, somebody making things happen. Under her
mm-hmm.
administration, there was
mm-hmm.
a whole floor in the jail closed.
Mm-hmm.
Children, out of 600-something kids that were misplaced, they found foster homes and kids got reunified with their families
mm-hmm.
and stuff under her administration.
Mm-hmm.
You had the rocket docket thing about helping folks get
mm-hmm.
out of jail.
Yeah,
went
yeah.
Went to Atlanta, to the Capitol,
mm-hmm.
and different stuff like so. All the while, they were saying that we wasn't doing anything. No, they weren't doing anything. But they were making things happen. So anyway, we kept on pushing. And I'm going to say that about the Freedom Fund banquet. Somebody from every level, a leader from every level of government was at that Freedom Fund banquet.
Wow.
Local, state, and national was at that Freedom Fund banquet.
Okay.
And call it what it is, and not to pull the race card, but they was black, white, Latino, everybody. So for them to tell that tale about nobody not being supportive and how bad of a leader Tulsa was, that is a bold-faced lie.
Not true. So, okay, let me get you the whole 1 minute. 1 minute, we're going to take a quick commercial break and talk to the audience again for just a second, and I'll be right back with you. Give me about about 45 seconds. Hold one. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, we are on Fountain City Radio with our guest today, Freddie Williams, who says he's the former first vice president of the NAACP in Columbus, Georgia. As you know, the officers of the NAACP, every one of them were removed by nationals, and he's talking to us about some of the insider story that didn't get told in the press and the media. So I'm going to let you guys listen to our audio clip once again. The guest call-in number is 515-602-9677. For those of you out there listening, please do press 1 if you want to comment or ask a question. Other than that, we know you're out there listening because I can see you on the studio board. We'll be back in just about 30 seconds.
You're listening to the amazing Fountain City Radio in Columbus, Georgia, in the Valley and surrounding areas. News, thoughts, talk, speculation, and features with local talented artists and entertainers. Listen in or speak out. The choice is always yours, but tune in and get turned on because good stuff is always coming at you on Fountain City Radio. Sponsored by Kingstown Family Foundation, Fountain City Radio is designed with you and yours in mind.
All righty, we are back. Thank you for listening in. Our guest call-in number, once again, is 515-602-9677. You're on the board. You're listening. If you have some questions or comments, please press 1, and we'll bring you into the conversation. Please just speak with Mr. Williams and ask any questions. Mr. Williams, hi.
Yes, ma'am.
We are back again, and where we left off, you were saying that Tonsa Thomas was actually a great leader, even though she was being accused of not being such a good leader, and you guys got together and had some very successful events. So let me ask you this question. What was the one turning point? Can you pinpoint actually one thing that made them make this decision to remove all the officers? Is there something specific that turned them around in the face of all these successes that you guys had?
Yes, ma'am. But first of all, they weren't, again, let me back up. Even when we first got elected, certain people had a problem with her being the president in the first place. And I say this to say, a lady came to me. Now, I've been called a name, but I'll keep her name to myself this time. But she came to me at that time, and she said, she don't fail, you're going to be president. Well, a bright red flag went up then, and I'm like, okay, I see what they're trying to do. They were trying to put me there to block everything that she was doing.
I see.
So
Okay. Fast
forward to this last election, that's what Barbara Pierce and them did. They did the stuff that they was expecting me to do. But I'm not down with the mess. And if I can, I know you guys, if I can I just say, the branch is not closed down. The Columbus, Georgia branch of the NAACP is very much alive and well. Now, I'm talking about this work that went on, but I'm not down in the NAACP. It is needed very much.
I
encourage anybody who cares about civil rights to please get in there and join the NAACP and don't be discouraged by some of the mess that we have going on. So, I mean,
I'll be honest with you. I don't think anybody thought it was shut down. I think that people were just probably wondering what in the world was going on, when were some new officers going to be elected, and when were things going to get back rolling again. So I don't think anybody thought it was shut down. I think everybody's just standing by waiting to see what's going to happen. Yes, ma'am. So where is Ms. Tonza at this point? Is she remains as a member?
Yes, she's still a member. Matter of fact, Tonza's a life member.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Good.
But
good. So is she going to continue to participate throughout this and maybe possibly run again in 2020? Do you think?
Well, there's so many different opportunities that people are offering her now. And to be honest with you,
mm-hmm.
and I said, and I keep trying to tell her, look, go for it, because people have seen her work. And I'm talking about people right now that are running for big offices in the state, nationally, are trying to get her to come aboard with them. And I'm telling her, look, go, but you know what you're going to, you know.
Yeah. Well, That's a good thing.
Because they're reaching out to her. She's not reaching out to them. They are reaching out to her. If
that's
I can go back on that turning point you had asked about, what happened is the people, they still wouldn't do right.
Mm-hmm.
And what I got out of her is that she was actually asked to resign because those people were still not going to do right as long as she was in office. So basically, it's like, okay, well, we don't care. That's what they said. I'm being honest with you. They said, we don't care anything about an audit. We don't care about clearing anybody's name. And I'm just quoting what I heard. We don't care about clearing anybody's name. So, Mr. Goldman said, and let me say that, what I heard, because he didn't say it to me, that he said, well, they're not going to do right. We're not going to be able to do anything because every time you get ready to do something, you get ready to vote for something, they're going to vote no, just because it comes. So he figured the best thing to do is press reset and bring in a whole new set of officers.
So, I mean, was this provable that they were going to vote no, or was somebody just talking?
No, ma'am. Dealing with the same people, they were going to do the same thing, because I can say that because over, like, the last year and a half during different times, we would have certain people that, you know, try to be come and bring people together, unifiers.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
the same people would get in there, we'd be having dinner or something like that, you know, like this, for lack of a better phrase, come to Jesus moment, and everybody, as soon as they walk out that door, they're going back to doing the same old mess again.
I see.
Basically, what they would do is see what the next move was. She's a mover and a shaker. She's about making things happen. But as soon as they see what's going to happen, they do stuff to try to block it. You know, whether it's helping out in the community, whether it's putting on an event, they would get out ahead and try to block it, which is basically what happened with the Freedom Fund banquet, because none of them would get any tickets. Every year, you know, tickets come in. You ask people, you know, to sell tickets, to sell ads and different stuff, and they wouldn't. And they were telling people not to support the Freedom Fund banquet. So what happened And she believed in it. She doesn't believe in informing people. And you do need to be informed. But as soon as they found out who was selling tickets, you know, Pastor so-and-so at this church, Miss so-and-so, they took it and went. And then these same people turned around and said, well, I can't support it like that. So my thing is, well, don't tell them anything. Let's move. Let's make it happen then. So eventually we stopped responding to the message. We didn't respond to anything on the internet. On the email about blocking the Freedom Fund banquet, because now you got all these people money, and you're expecting it. And so, by the grace of God, we pulled it up, and it was excellent. The best one ever.
Wow.
Say what they
want
to. And Mary Jane knew it because she was sitting up in there.
Well, you know, me personally, I've talked to Ms. Tonza myself. I'm actually a member of the NAACP myself, and I've talked to Ms. Tonza myself, and I've never even noticed that why anybody would have a problem with her, because from what I was able to tell, she was doing an excellent job. Even though my face didn't show up, I could see what's going on in the background. And some other things happened prior to me becoming a member of the NAACP that kind of put me out, but it was my intention to go ahead and rejoin and come back in and actually start making it my business to do some work. I don't plan on leaving myself. But it sounds like to me that whatever the problem was, it was a personal issue that had nothing to do with her work as the organization. So can you tell me if you know or if you feel comfortable with disclosing who's running for president this go round in September?
Can you repeat that question now?
Can you tell me, can you disclose or do you know who's running for president and coming in September of the, who will be president from, well, not who will be, but who's running for president in September?
Well, I don't know exactly by name, because to be honest with you, they're trying to, this thing here been like some backroom type stuff, some clandestine meetings as well. But I have heard there's a lady, I don't want to mess her name up, but supposedly there was a lady that's running.
Mm-hmm.
I heard a couple of them belly aching about it. Last Sunday after the Fifth Extravaganza, there's a lady running, and I heard one of the folks that's already in the branch. She hadn't even been around. She hadn't shown up. But they didn't ask anybody. They didn't ask anybody who wants to join and want to run. So if the lady's going to be running for president, I have heard that Reverend Ralph Hewling,
is supposed
to be running for first vice. And then some of the other churches around, and I'm not sure, you know, I've heard names brought up, but I don't know that they're running. I don't know if Pastor Clark from Metropolitan may be running. I didn't get that from him. I'm just, you know, him and Pastor Green from, what is that, First African, First American. And that's just in hearsay. But basically, it's like a lot of religious leaders supposedly coming to the poll.
Okay.
My thing about this whole thing is, and I will say this with Thomas, our thing was we wasn't about the go along to get along thing, and that's quote.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about whether it was dealing with politicians, whether it was dealing with judges, whether we're dealing. It's like, okay, we can work together, but we're not going to be so close to you that it comes time for us to step up and got to come against you, and we can't do it. We don't play like that.
Right.
In the branch, they do be like, we can't do this, we can't do that. But what good is it if you're not going to fight?
Right.
And that's the problem.
Well,
they're not doing what they want about doing.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I've seen it in action. Let me ask you this question real quick, because we're coming up on our last 2 minutes and 10 seconds here before the show ends on us. You mentioned the name of Barbara Pierce. Was she ever president of the organization at any time?
Yes, ma'am. What happened is, okay, true. Give me a real call. 2 minutes, 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have about a minute 50.
Okay. Well, when I'm here, she was the first female president, but what happened is she wasn't elected. She ascended to the presidency because the president left. And then from what I hear, this is just hearsay, that she got removed for misappropriating the funds and stuff like that. And that's just hearsay. I don't know for sure. Tonsley is actually the first elected female of the branch. And then closing, I would say, my hat's off to Tonsley because she had stayed humble this whole time. You haven't heard her call first. I didn't do this.
Amen.
None of that. She
that's true.
Been
hadn't heard a word
humble.
From her. Not a peep out of her. All right, we're coming up on our last 90 seconds of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank Mr. Freddie Williams for coming on the show, talking to us about the future of the NAACP. You all know if you're members, there's an election coming up in September, so you probably already got your letters in the mail like I did. We're going to go ahead and disconnect and end the show for now and thank Mr. Freddie Williams once again for coming on. And we'll see you guys on Monday when we'll be talking to Najee Dorsey, artist in residence here, right here in the Fountain City. Thank you much, Mr. Williams, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Yes, ma'am.